Today's episode is in honor of my godson, Dylan. Dylan sadly passed away this past weekend in a car accident, and my heart and soul and everything goes out to his parents and, you know, my best friend, his dad, Will, and his mom, Alicia, and of course, his sister, Kayla. We love you, and this one's for Dylan.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We have the great Jesse Wilson on the show. We had an awesome, awesome time talking to her. It was like talking to an old friend. Which, you know, if you've listened to this show before, you know how much I love that. You know, it was great to hear her insight and how she's come to do all this and be who she is. It's absolutely incredible. And she's working her ass off. And, you know, if you're ever in Lower Broadway, you can see her. If, you know, just check her out, go to her socials, check out her Spotify, do all those things. We appreciate you being here so much. Check us out on our socials too. And, you know, come back anytime. We will have another episode on Thursday, as we have been doing the last few weeks. And that's really that. What else? I think that's it for now. Like we have mentioned the last week or so, we are going on hiatus coming in March. We have one episode that's going to be coming out, probably a standalone one right before we do that. But I have a feeling we'll be back sooner rather than later. And, you know, we appreciate you all for being here. So enjoy the episode. Enjoy the conversation. I apologize if I sound strange. I am exhausted. I have a new work schedule that I cannot seem to get right. But yeah, you know, crazy things going on and, you know, I appreciate you all for being here and checking it out. So enjoy our conversation with Jesse, and we will see you on the flip side. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hey, Jesse.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
I know. Good morning. I woke up a little late today.
That's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate you changing around your schedule for me. It means a lot.
Oh, yeah. It actually works out better this morning than tonight, so I'm glad
you asked. Perfect. Absolutely. First and foremost, thanks for being here. I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time, so... You know, the way we do it here is I'm just going to kind of let you tell your story, and I'm going to, you know, jump in here and there, and, you know, I want to hear about you.
Yeah, cool. So I guess we'll start from my start in music. I've always loved music and grew up karaokeing at a bar / restaurant / swimming pool club with my parents when I was really young, and just knew I always loved music. Begged my mom to get me a guitar in high school, so she did, and it's kind of when it started. I was about 16, I think, and so just started taught myself on YouTube at that time, which now again, I guess Taylor Swift is the biggest thing going on. But back then was when she was really getting her start. And so, you know, she was amazing to me because she was a female and she could play guitar, she could sing, and she could write her own song. So she was my main source of inspiration at the time. So I would come home from high school every day and teach myself to play guitar looking at YouTube because I had heard that's how she did it. And so eventually I could play four or five chords and started writing my own songs in my bedroom. And then I was a part of a youth group at the time at church, and they got wind that I could play, so they threw me up playing guitar in front of my peers and in front of hundreds of adults on Sunday mornings with a couple months of experience. So I had to learn real quick, because on Sunday mornings I was playing with the big dogs, the older people who actually knew music, whereas I was just kind of new at it, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, from there I started leading worship for a long time, and then played in coffee shops around, I'm from Phoenix City, Alabama, so I played in coffee shops around Phoenix City, Columbus, Georgia, and eventually when I turned 21, I started playing in bars around that area as well, and I actually went to college to be a teacher, surprisingly. My mom wanted me to get a degree before I came to Nashville. It just would make her feel better because, I mean, we didn't come from a lot of money. So, you know, I was kind of on my own for the most part. And so I went to college to be got an early childhood education degree and taught kindergarten and first grade for a total of 5 years. And so while I was teaching, yeah, it seems like a whole nother life ago.
Yeah, yeah.
While I was teaching, I would play on the weekends and still leading worship. And of course, it's a small town in Alabama in the South, so I couldn't really advertise that I was playing in bars a lot of the time. So I would keep most of my shows kind of quiet. But I was kind of finagling that struggle of worship leader in bars and wanting to be in Nashville. And at the time, in a long relationship that kept me home longer than I thought. I mean, I just thought I would get my degree and come to Nashville. But, you know, I just stayed around kind of waiting on a guy to propose, you know, that whole thing. So
yeah.
I'm glad that never happened, because God knows best for us. So that's why a lot of people ask me why I stayed teaching so long. You know, why didn't I come to Nashville sooner? And that's why. And I guess God writes our story. And, you know, I had to be in some of those kids' lives for a reason at that time. I did enjoy teaching, but I've always known that music was what I was supposed to be doing forever, you know, until my last breath. So finally got up the courage to move here in Nashville in August of 2019. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I moved here in August of 2019, and as we know, that was right before the pandemic, so this was an interesting first year in Nashville. And got here, and I worked at a daycare at first. That did not work out for me. And then I started serving tables at two different restaurants. And then those restaurants owned bars on Broadway. And so they started booking me for gigs on Broadway. And then eventually, when I had enough gigs under my belt, I went full-time music. That was probably in early 2021, maybe. And, you know, from there I started, you know, I played at Floribama a lot down in Orange Beach, Alabama. And I've been out of town playing shows and playing on Broadway. And I've always wanted to be full-time music. So, you know, a lot of people ask me that, you know, like I have some friends here that have 9-to-5s and they go and play on the weekends, but I came from a 9-to-5, so I knew that I didn't want to do that. And I just love music, and I wanted that to be my, you know, when I wake up to when I go to sleep. And so that's where I'm at right now. And I got to work with a great producer and team and put out my first EP. I'm sure you've heard it.
Oh, yeah.
It's done really well, just to be my first, you know, independent release. And yeah, it's just been an incredible year. 2023 was probably my favorite year, I want to say, of my life. It was just pretty exciting. I didn't go on the road as much as I'd hoped, but I'm still trying to finagle that because, yeah, it's just a whole nother, I don't know how to say it, like an addition to this thing that I've got to kind of figure out being independent.
Yeah.
You know, getting the right gigs and being able to, you know, get the money that I deserve and be able to make a living. Because like I said, I don't do anything else. And so I'm working on booking right now, and I hope this year to get out way more than I did last year. And I'm just excited for 2024. I've got new music to release, and I've written a lot of songs. I've written probably 400 songs now. And So hopefully maybe one day I'll have some deals. But for right now, I'm just grinding, working hard with my head down, and just doing what I love, really.
Yeah. You know, it's wild because it's like, you know, I listen to your stuff, and, you know, you talk about the Taylor Swift aspect, and you guys, you know, the two of you couldn't be further from each other, you know, when it comes to sound and that sort of thing. But I'm curious on, you know, when you are in Alabama, how are you, you know, and then you make your transition to Nashville. How did you create the buzz for yourself to put yourself in a position where, I mean, you are. I mean, you're not just, you know, you're so good that you're not just, you know, oh, well, I'm a, you know, up and coming country artist. Like you have it. You have the following. You have, you know. You have the eyeballs, you have, you know, you have it all. You have, you know, you literally, the world is in your hand, I think, for this year.
Yeah. So the question is, how did I make that transition, I guess?
Yeah. How did you go from, you know, having to keep quiet, you know, as you said, to, you know, all of these eyes on you, you know, really in a short amount of time?
Yeah, that was, it was a lot, really, all the so fast. I mean, I did post when I played back home a little bit. The longer I teach, the more I was like, this is what it is. You know, I can love the Lord, and I can play in bars where they serve alcohol, and that's okay to me. Some people, maybe that's not, you know, okay for them and their beliefs. But eventually, the older I'd gotten, you know, I was like, this is okay, and this is what I'm doing. And I love this enough to not, like, kind of have to hide all kinds of parts of me anymore. And so when I moved to Nashville, I was 26, and I always joke and say it was the first time I probably had a beer on stage was in Nashville, you know, because I felt like I moved here and I really discovered who I was. Like, I felt like there was so much freedom and so much creativity just to be who I always was, but I kind of had to push it under it because I was trying to do the, you know, 9-to-5 thing, and I wrestled with, like, should I just be a wife and live here in this small town? And then everything in me was like, no, and like, I was a great teacher, and I remember just coming home from school most days just like crying and feeling like, how do I do this? I don't have a lot of money. I don't come from a family that can just fully support me. Like, I'm going to have to get work. Like, I don't know anyone there. I have a stepbrother and his family that live in Gallatin, which is not far from Nashville, but that was it. And I had one musician friend, Charlie Argo. And so that's what kept me for years in Alabama, trying to figure it out. And then one phone call, I spoke to my friend Charlie Argo, and he had moved to Nashville a few years before me, and he was from around where I'm from in Alabama, and he just kind of told me, you had to jump. Like, I know you're a planner, but you can't plan out everything. Like, it's going to work out. You just have to get here. So that's what I did. I kind of just moved on a whim. I finished out my fifth year. I remember in early May of my fifth year teaching in 2019, I remember just waking up one morning, getting ready for school, and then being like, you have to go. Like, this is the last year. You're going to go to Nashville. So I went to school and spoke to my principal. And, of course, she was nothing less than supportive. And she said, baby, go chase your dreams. You always have this school, and, you know, we'll always be here for you. But you only get one chance, you know, which was amazing. So I finished out my fifth year and moved here in August. And I kind of just let go of, like I said, hiding who I was. And I really just went through this growing up period, even though I was 26, and that's probably a little too old to grow up, but I grew up a lot, you know, moving from where I was just with my small town family and my little friend circle to moving here and having to really branch out and meet people and go out and be brave and ask questions because I didn't know anything, really, you know. So it was really a learning experience, and it still is every single day.
Wow, that's an incredible story. That's
yeah, when I tell it, I'm like, that is a lot. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
but I've been through it. My 20s were insane. I'm thankful for them, but I've been through a lot to get to where I am, and I'm nowhere, you know, near where I want to be, but I know it's stepping stones, and you gotta, you know, just keep climbing the ladder till you get there. So
right so now, you know, when you move to Nashville and you're, you know, you're you know, you're trying to make a name for yourself. What kind of places and what are you doing to, you know, even just get your foot in the door somewhere?
Yeah, like with playing, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, when I first moved here, I would always go out to Writers Rounds, Live Oak and Tin Roof and several different places that do all original music here, and just would listen to writers sing their songs and artists sing their songs, and, you know, feel like I liked some of them. And when they got done, I'd go up and approach them and say, I really love that song. Can you, you know, would you be willing to write with me? And of course, I got a lot of no's being new, you know. It's just kind of it's like that at the beginning. And then when you hang around long enough and you kind of prove yourself, and the right people, I feel like, believe in you. Like, okay, yeah, like, I'll work with you. Like, I you know, I like you. And so when I first moved here, I was going out so much, you know, like almost every night just to meet people. And it was exhausting, but, you know, a lot of people say the hangs are worth it. And that's where you get to really meet, you know, the artist, and just hanging around after just always being there with a smile on your face and, you know, being friendly. And so that's kind of how I got my start. And then with the Writers Rounds, you know, I would just ask the people that put on the Writers Rounds if I could play. And then with the Broadway stuff, like I said, I used to work at Merchants, which actually burned down on Broadway. It was a restaurant, but they owned Paradise Park that used to be here. Now it's not Paradise Park. I think it's Garth Brooks Bar now. But anyways, they booked me there. And then I worked at Nashville Palace, and then they booked me at Bootleggers and Whiskey Bent. And from there, it's kind of word of mouth. And now I play in the Highwire circuit, which is, I play at Miranda Lambert's and Jason Aldean's now primarily. And so, yeah, it's been kind of just I don't know, a lot of people ask me, how do you get to play on Broadway? And it just kind of happened for me, I guess, working at restaurants where they knew I was a singer, and we were in a pandemic, and so they were kind of desperate for talent. Like, I remember one of the director of operations at one of the restaurants asked me how much would I charge for, you know, base pay coming out of pandemic. I'm like, at least 75 or 100. And, you know, it was just crazy. They were kind of like going off of what we were wanting, just because the world was kind of such a weird place and there wasn't any live music. And maybe that was how I got my foot in the door too. A lot of people moved home. I mean, the world changed in 2020. Right. So
yeah,
it was hard, but for the people that stayed, I think they got rewarded for sure. And the people that moved here, it was a struggle, but like I said, eventually, you know, if you kept at it, then you got your yeses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I actually had a conversation with somebody yesterday about how crazy, you know, it's been 4 years now, right? For more or less since 2020. Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy how we still, you know, still are talking about it like it was just yesterday, you know, like it was last year, like this all happened. And like the ripple effect is still, you know, is still very much being felt, I think, in every industry.
Yeah.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
You know, I can only imagine what it was like for, you know, those that were already in Nashville, you know, really, you know, coming up and having it done, and, you know, and then 2020 hits, and then it, like, it's all gone, you know, in the blink of an eye, you know.
Yeah, it was wild. I really give credit to the bar floor, Bama, because Nashville was kind of shut down. It was open one day, it was shut down. It was, everybody had to sit down. Everybody can move around with a mask. Everybody to sit back down. You know, all the rules were kind of changing as everyone was trying to figure it out. And Floribama really just had their kind of protocols, and they stayed with it. And so they stayed open. And so I got introduced to playing there, I believe, in 2021. And, I mean, for almost a year, you know, especially through the – well, maybe it was 2020, but because I know it was the pandemic still. But anyways, I would go down there and play a week or two out of every month. And when things were kind of shut down here, and I was transitioning, trying to get my foot in the door here. So I was thankful for that. But yeah, another big part of my story is in 2020 in April, I lost my dad unexpectedly. So that, on top of the pandemic and on top of moving here, was just an insane thing to have to go through. And and then a year later, I lost my stepdad in 2021. So I feel like I've kind of been healing and getting through that and those emotions the past years, except for this year. I feel like I really figured it out. And maybe that's why, you know, I said it, this was my happiest year, because it feels like things are normal again for me. And, you know, Christmas was great finally, and things are feeling really good. And I don't really know what this year holds. I guess only God does. But like I said, it just feels really good. I know I'll be getting out more, and I'll be putting out more music, and I'm getting to work with great people. And so, you know, every day I get to wake up and do this for a living. And I guess, you know, for that, I should be thankful in itself.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild to have years, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to that, because usually, I mean, typically, I know, at least in my life and in other people's lives that I know, it's like, it's one thing after another. Right. And then it's like, you know, can I ever get a break? And then, you finally do. Right. Exactly. You know, I feel like I'm kind of in that moment myself. So I totally get it.
Yeah. It's hard. It doesn't always last forever. And it's easier heard than actually going through it. But when you do get through things, then you realize, okay, this is going to hurt for a while, whatever I'm going through. But just, you know, stick through it, be strong, and you come out stronger on the other end. Unfortunately, bad things happen all the time in the world. But I just try to get through when the sad things happen, and I guess focus on the good. But I sure am glad to be out of the slumps that I was in. I can tell you that. But a lot of people didn't even know I was going through that, because I guess I kind of hit it so well. I mean, I kept myself so busy that I could hardly even process what I was going through, which I don't think is a healthy way to heal, but it was what I chose to do, because I was, you know, so sad and trying to figure out everything here in Nashville. So I just kind of just kept myself busy, kept my mind occupied, so I couldn't just sit and cry, you know, like I wanted to most days. And so that was just helpful for me. I'm very ADD anyway, so if you can get me up and going, I'm always doing something.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of how I like to operate. It's just always on the go.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I'm not going and moving, it's like, shit. What do I do?
Exactly. Sounds like you're going and moving right now. Actually, are you?
Yeah, I'm always moving. You know, and it was one of those things where it's like, you know, we changed our time a little bit, and I was like, shit. I'm like, I gotta be somewhere, but I can make it work. And I'm like, I'm making it work. I don't care what happens. And
well, thank you. I'm glad you had me. I appreciate it. This is awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's fun, you know, and it's fun to hear about, you know, somebody like you who is, you know, new, you know, really, you know, in the newness of it all. And then, but also, like, you know, I've said it before, but like, you're kicking ass. Like you really are. Like, you have nothing but the world in front of you. You know, I mean, to have only a handful of singles out and then put out a duet with, you know, Caleb Lee Hutchins, who is, you know, going to be, you know, right there on top of the world everybody else. Like, how did that come across?
Yeah. So that was wild. I remember watching, I don't really keep up with American Idol or any of the singing shows anymore, but like when I was home in Alabama, I watched a few, and I remember watching that season. I think that was the last season I actually like watched the majority of it. I believe it was 2018, but, I remember watching it and being like, gosh, this guy is so good. Like, one of the best country voices. Like, you know, I never, ever dreamed. I mean, at that time, I didn't, you know, like, I definitely didn't think I would ever meet him. And so I was just like that, you know, he's so good, whatever. Well, fast forward to last year, 2023, in April, I was at Live Oak singing at a writer's round. And, you know, I get off stage and he, you know, approached me and said that he really enjoyed my style and my singing and would love a chance to work with me, which I was like, what? And he could see that I already followed him on Instagram. So I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, he probably thinks I'm a fan. I'm like, which I was a fan, but I really and truly didn't keep up with them from watching him on TV, sadly. Yeah. Like, everyone should. I encourage anyone listening to this. Like, when those folks get off those shows, like, they have careers beyond that. And a lot of people are still kind of hung up in who they were on the shows, you know. So like, anyways, y'all should check out his album if anyone hasn't. Let's listen to this later. But so we got together and we had two different songwriting sessions. The first one we wrote at NSAI, and we wrote Quarter Life Crisis, which is Caleb released, which that was my first cut as a songwriter, which was incredible because I told you I've written 400 or so songs, and none of them have been released other than what I put out for my own self and my own artistry. But Caleb released that one. And then the second time we got together, wrote Airstream Dreams, and just incredible. And then I put that one out. So we enjoy working together. We're still writing together quite frequently, and we've written another duet that I really like. I just feel like I need a few more singles by myself before I put out another duet. But then again, I'm like, who cares? You can do really whatever you want to do, especially when you're independent. So I'm like, I have 6 songs out and 2 are duets, which is kind of crazy. I didn't really plan that, but I'm like, well, whatever. Everyone likes it. Everyone's like, when are you doing more duets, especially with Caleb? So I don't know. Maybe I will give the people what they want eventually this year. We'll put out that other song.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think that's the beauty of being independent. You can literally do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell you no.
I know. It's freeing, but it's also very scary because I'm like, oh, my God, I'm my own CEO. Like, you know, you have to be very on top of it. And I try to learn from, you know, all my friends and people that I know that are signed and see how, you know, they're doing it and kind of taking notes and then just realizing, like, hey, I do have the autonomy to do whatever I want to do right now. And that is a beautiful thing because I don't know one day if I'll be signed. I don't even know if I quite am really going after that hardcore. But, you know, I just, like I said, I know when that day does come that there will be more of a like control thing. That'll probably be a new thing for me to get used to because I am used to doing this primarily all by myself. Since I picked up my guitar, I was booking my own shows and carrying my own equipment and posting all my posts and making my website. And like, you know, it's been a nonstop thing. I think there's a lot of things in it that people don't realize. They just think, oh, you get on a stage and you sing and you're so good. I'm like, I wish that was all I did.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding,
that's
right?
The beauty of it. Like the other stuff is like, I'm running a small business, which is insane. Cause yeah. Before I moved to Nashville, I had no knowledge of business whatsoever. And I wish I'd gotten a business degree instead of a teaching degree to tell you the truth. But here we are learning as I see it and as I go through it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you know, I can relate to that, you know, quite a bit, you know, because it's the same kind of thing here where, you know, a lot of people I'm sure be like, you know, I know people that are like, oh, well, you know, it's just a podcast. What do you sit down for an hour and talk to somebody? And it's like, yeah, maybe, but there's also all of the other shit that comes with it. You know, it's
exactly.
all of the prep and all the posts and all of the, you know, the scheduling and trying to, you know, playing around my schedule and your, you know, somebody else's, somebody else's, you know, it's crazy. It's not just, you know, and then the social media side of it is a full-time job in and of itself.
Oh gosh, I know. And I let it stress me out a lot last year. Like I'm a perfectionist and I guess some would say a little hard on myself. A lot of people are like, give yourself grace, give yourself a break, Jesse. I'm just trying to, you know, no, I don't want to waste a day. You know, I want to do this thing the best that I can. And
yeah,
I just kind of got hung up in it. I know, I mean, a lot of people are on the opposite side of that. They're like, they've gotten used to posting a lot, but I'm like, I should be enjoying my life also. And it shouldn't be stress all the time to try to, you know, make a post or be present online. Like people understand we have lives too. And, you know, so I don't know. I know plenty of people that are successful that haven't gone viral. And so, you know, that's not really my goal. It might happen. It might not. I'm just going to do what I love and what I feel called to do as long as I can do it.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you, you know, being on the media side of this thing and, you know, always trying to keep up with the news and, you know, there's so many people and artists out there and it's like, you know, who do you cover? Who do you not cover? Who do you, you know, who do you pay attention to? I don't want to say not pay attention to, but who do you, you know, it's a rat race, you know, you never know. You know, you can kind of watch and see somebody doing great things and going to be something and all that. And then, you know, it's like, do you cover that aspect of it? Or do you just deal with, you know, whatever Luke Combs or Luke Bryan or Jason Aldean's doing today? You know, it's like, there's so much shit to think about.
It is. And if you think about it, like, I love the, you know, the podcast and like you, you know, that do help in cover independent artists. Cause if you think about those guys, they have plenty of coverage, you know? And so, but it's still great. I mean, if you're doing music news, I understand you have to be relevant and do kind of all across the board, but it's always cool to me, you know, when, you know, podcasts are willing and wanting to have me on and to hear my story and things.
Oh yeah.
It's all about word of mouth right now for me. You know, it was crazy to me to know that Lainey won, I guess, was it like best female of the year, most entertaining entertainer. best entertainer last year.
Yeah.
But she had, I think, been doing it 12 years or new. It was new. Whatever she won, it was, there was new involved in the title of it. And she was like, it's insane getting this, thinking that I'm considered a new artist. But I'm so, so glad to be that. But it's crazy because she's been doing it for 12. She's been in Nashville 12 years. Like, right. She's not new. Everybody knows her. But to the world, she's new. So that's mind blowing. Cause I'm like, that's why I'm like, I'm no one yet. Like no one yet in the world's eyes. Like I have my small fan base and I'm thankful, but word of mouth helps tremendously. And getting on these playlists help tremendously because that's, you know, where majority of my streams are going to come from because that's how people discover new artists nowadays is those playlists.
You know, I think another thing that helps you in the time that you're, you know, you're coming up is that, you know, your sound is so, I don't want to say so unique, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it's a sound that is what I think what country music fans are looking for. You know, it's not pop country is not where I would put you at all. You know, I would put you in the realms of, you know, the Caitlin Butts of the world and, you know, those artists and those bands that have that, don't have that radio play, but all are selling out, you know, 1,000+ seat clubs or, you know, small arenas and things like that. You know, that's the kind of sound, you know, I think real country music fans want to hear. You know, they don't necessarily want to hear, you know, as much as I love them, you know, they don't want to hear another Luke Combs song that sounds exactly like the last Luke Combs song.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is a cool time. I am thankful for social media in that aspect because a lot of people are getting discovered and there's this whole outlaw kind of country and this Texas country sound and like Meg McCree, Ben Chapman, that whole kind of country and like hippie country is coming, is hot right now. And that's awesome. I think Lainey even called her tour that, something like hippie country's back or something along those lines. But so I think I do see myself in that world. And, you know, I'd rather have a room of 200 people dialed in, quiet, locked in, than having a, you know, just a noisy, loud stadium of, not just say it, but drunk people. And I guess maybe I've kind of become partial to that from like playing on Broadway because I see it every weekend, you know, but you can tell there's a few people that are really dialed in. They're like, wow, you're the best we've seen, or wow, you know, like your story is inspiring, like, you know. And that's kind of my goal with Broadway is in those shows, you know, while I'm doing that, is, you know, to bring something different down there and you know, not be the same old you know, pour some sugar on me singing that every show. Like I try to really tell my story and meet people while I'm down there and, you know, take advantage of that opportunity that I get while I get it. So I know it won't be forever and I'm so excited. Like I've done 2.5, maybe 3 years down there now. And I'm really ready to just to get out, and I'm seeking a small team. You know, I'm just waiting for the right people because I do need just a little bit of help to get to the next level and to level up. And I'm super ready. So I'm kind of praying for that this year too. I've, you know, just hopeful to get, like I said, just a little bit of assistance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. You know, and honestly, anybody with a brain can see the talent and the potential that you have, you know. It's,
thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it's, I remember the first time, like I stumbled across you and I was like, who the hell, you know, how long has this girl been around and where's she been? And then it was like, oh, she hasn't been around for a super long time. Like, this is gonna be something big, you know. And it's cool to like, you know, stumble across those things.
Yeah. Do you remember when it was that you stumbled across me?
Oh God, it was sometime early last year.
Okay.
I want to say it probably about this time last year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it sucks because it's like the way I have done this in years prior, it was like, all right, well, my schedule is open between January and April. You know, if you want a spot, let me know and I'll put you in. And then like that would be gone in like seconds. You know, I know that sounds super fucking arrogant and egotistical, but like it's true. Like it was gone. Yeah. And then it didn't allow me to, like, you know, if I stumbled across somebody that I really liked and be like, hey, I have an opening in 2 weeks. Do you want to, you know, it was like, hey, I have an opening in June. And it's like, at that point, you know, yeah, it's still great. But at that point, like, I don't want to say the excitement is gone, but there's a difference. There's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I love having the, the last minute episodes and things come up because it's like, it makes it a little more exciting. You know, it makes it a little more like, oh my God. I could fangirl a little bit.
Yeah.
A little harder. When I reached out to you about being on and you said yes, I was like, well, all right, let's do it. Because I didn't in a million years think that, you know, I still don't ever think that whenever I reach out to somebody, they'll say yes. So it's a huge honor that you did. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm curious. This might put you on the spot, but who has been the coolest guest in your opinion so far before today?
Oh, the cool. Oh, before you?
Yeah, before me. Before me.
Jesus Christ. The coolest guest I've had on. Coolest in what way?
Like, you just didn't think you'd get it. Like, almost like you were a fan, you know, fanboy and like, wow, I can't believe I'm getting to talk to this person. And maybe you feel that about a lot of artists that you get to work with, but I was just curious if there was like a one like that really, really you were stoked about.
I'd honestly have to say the first time I talked to JR the Handler.
Okay.
You know, JR and I have become pretty, pretty good friends now. And you must know who he is with all the stuff you've done at Florida Bama.
What's his name? I'm sorry, JR?
Yeah, JR. He's
JR, are you talking about with Justin Moore?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know JR. It's been a long time.
JR is awesome. You know, the first time him and I sat down and talked, I think our first conversation was like an hour and a half long. It was awesome. And then he was just recently on again for our 200th episode. And,
oh, wow.
You know, it was like a catch up. It was like a, hey, how was the year kind of thing? And it was awesome. Yeah. And
that's cool. I'm gonna have to make sure he knows he was your coolest one. I'm gonna send him.
Yeah, yeah. He would
send him a text after we get off.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, and I've had some people. I've had some guests on here that I was super excited for, and then turned out to be like, you know, oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm bothering you with an interview that you.
Yes to.
That you said yes to. I'm sorry for that.
Well, we love this industry and all the egos in it. I try to keep mine in check. I mean, you know,
it's hard.
Crazy. It is.
It's hard, you know, and it's like, you know, one of my, I won't name drop. I'll just text it to you later. But, you know, one of the episodes I did, I was so excited for, so excited for. I loved this art. I love this artist's music and I still do. Right. And I loved every song he or she has put out, every song he's put out. And like it caught me by surprise of how, like, you know, it's like, dude, you haven't had a hit in 3 years. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and again, it's not about the hits, right? But like, if you're gonna carry yourself that way,
Then you better be killing it.
Right. You better be killing it.
You better be Morgan Wallen status.
Right. Right. You know, and then we've had people on that, you know, it's like they were on.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of the Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check him out, theporchsouthern.com.
And you know, they've been on, and then a couple weeks later, they're getting the call to make their Opry debut. You know, they're going on tour with, you know, big names or bigger names, and it's like, you know, obviously I don't credit myself for that because I didn't do it, but it was like right place, right time.
Oh yeah. At least you got them. That's what it's like too, with working with people, like writing with people and stuff. Cause like, you know, I've had several times where I've had a song or half a song with someone and they've blown up and I'm like, I'm never getting in the room with them again. God, we should have finished that song. You know, like,
right.
It's just the way it is, but it's been crazy. That's what's crazy about this town is you never know. And you never know who's going to be your boss one day too. I've seen that the longer I'm here. I'm like people that I know getting jobs at labels and things. And so, you know, you best be nice to everybody is kind of the policy I like to try to abide by anyways. Cause it is crazy person mopping the floors at Walmart could be a CEO of Sony one day. You just don't
know. Exactly. You know, that's kind of why, you know, I do this show the way I do it, because it's like, this is, you know, what you hear is what you get from me. And I don't think this industry or this genre has a lot of that or enough of that.
No.
You know, where everybody's so afraid, it seems like.
Showing themselves. Yeah. I'm like really letting people get to know them. I know I have several people that I think I know, but I'm like, I don't really know 10 facts about them. They're just hard to, it's like a. You know, they just have a hard shell. They don't really open up, and it's I don't know if it's a cool exterior. It goes back to that with egos, like, and people's brands are different, but I want my brand to be very authentic. Like, what you see is what you get. I'm a normal person. I came from serving tables. I came from scraping toilets at a daycare. Like, I've done it all, and you know, I'm grateful that I don't have to do that anymore. And so, you know, like I said, even though I'm doing the Broadway thing primarily, I'm grateful I get to do it, and I know it won't be like that forever, but. I'm paying my dues, and I've gotten to meet. I mean, I played with a guy yesterday, a drummer that plays with Lewis Bryce, Lee's brother. He's been out with several big acts. I mean, he's older. He's played with, probably at least 20, like, top names. And here he is playing with me. Like, I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's a cool thing about playing on, you know, Broadway and doing that is I've gotten to meet a lot of touring musicians and word of mouth too. You know, who knows, one day if you know, when they go back to whoever they're playing with, you know, and they say, hey, I just played a gig with Jesse Wilson and man, she's great, you know, we need to use her as an opener. So you know, that stuff kind of happens, and so we'll see. But yeah, it's pretty cool getting to meet those cats down on Broadway that have been here for years and played with big names.
Yeah, I remember, you know, in my early days of starting this, you know, I had gotten a message on Instagram from this guy who's become a real good friend and a mentor to me. And, you know, he introduces himself and is very, you know, very humble and very mild manner. And he just like just so happens to say, like, oh, you know, I was part of Tim McGraw's band for, you know, 17 years, blah, 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 blah. Like just off the cuff, like it was like, you know. Like it was like a stop along the way. And I was like, wait a minute, is this guy bullshitting me? Or like, you know, so it was like, come to find out, you know, it's obviously it was all true. You know, I don't know why you would lie about that sort of thing, but
yeah,
you know, it was kind of a shock. It was like, why is this person reaching out to me about what I'm doing? You know, especially at the time.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, I think I was like maybe just a year in, and it was like, huh.
Yeah.
And but yeah, because that's the thing, like you never ever know who's watching, who's listening, who's you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people change what they're doing too, like, and for instance, I don't know his story and whoever you're talking about, but he might be trying to be an artist now, you know, who knows? Like the people I know, I've known so many people that change what they're doing, you know, or a lot of the people that are in those bands with the bigger names, and now they're doing front guy stuff too, and they're doing both. And or people that move here just be a writer, they wind up being an artist. Or people that move here thinking they're an artist and they wind up knowing and realizing they're just a writer, you know, and not just a writer but only a writer. And so it's kind of crazy too in that aspect, because you know, a lot of people change all around and do all kinds of different things in the industry. But yeah, it is interesting how, like I said, I knew this guy, I won't name drop, I love him. I used to play at Big Machine, not the label, but the bar that I assume they owned down on Broadway right when I moved here for a while. And this guy that also worked there is now just working at WME, you know, the booking place and stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's awesome. So it's crazy. Crazy how that works.
Yeah, it's a crazy industry, and it's a crazy genre. It's really like none other.
Yeah, it's addicting. Like I'm always astonished at the people that move here for a little bit and move back, which I understand that people's circumstances are different. Some people might have kids and their spouse say, hey, you got a year or two to really do this thing, get it out your system, see what happens. You know, I mean, that's some people's story. Right. I'm really lucky I don't have that. I'm me, myself, and I, and I get to do whatever I want to do and however long I want to take to do it. But, yeah, you know, it's just addicting. I've never really done drugs, but I assume if I had, it'd be like that. You know, it's like you get a taste of something, you just want to get more. Like, you know, I've had two songs go to Miranda Lambert now that she's texted back people that are really close to her and said that she loved them. And I get the text and I'm like, oh, so I'm praying for that right now, because there's a current song that she says she loves and that could change my whole career. And so I'm just, you know, praying that that happens. And then, you know, I got to open up for Jamie Johnson in 2021. That was the coolest show I've ever gotten to play in front of 7,000 or 8,000 people. And I was brand new to Nashville. I still don't really know how he discovered me. Like, he's from Alabama, but I didn't know him from Alabama. And when I used to play at Floribama all the time, like, you know, hanging around JR and everybody down there, I played there so much. Like, I'd heard one of his good friends saw me and sent a video of me to him and said, you need to get this girl. And then Casey Tindall was on tour with them and she couldn't make one show. And so I got an email. I thought it was a spam email. I didn't even honestly believe it. Like, I had to send this email around to a couple of people and to find out that it was actually true. And so anyways, yeah, it's crazy. You get a little glimpse. I'm like, how could I go from singing in front of 7,000 or 8,000 people and putting out my own music to going back to teaching? I'd rather die. I'm not lying. Right. Like, I couldn't do it. I'd be depressed my whole entire, I'd be like, what was that weird music chapter of my life? Oh, well, whatever. Now I'm just going to teach and get a husband, have a baby and live another life. Like, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I don't know how anybody could do that, where it's like, when you get this taste of the industry on your end of it, you know, and then just be like, oh, that was fun. Like, what?
Yeah.
How do you not keep going?
Mm-hmm. Well, the strong survive is what I say. I have people that message me, you know, quite often, and younger people, like, hey, you know, what, can you give me some advice? How did you do it? I'm like, I still don't know how I did it. I don't know how I'm doing it. And I don't even know if I'm the person to give advice, because I don't have it all figured out. I mean, I'm still very, very new in the eyes of a lot of people. And so I just tell them, like, you have to be strong minded and you have to be pretty independent to move away from everything you've known your whole life. Like, maybe that's just a small town thing in my mind, and maybe it's not that hard for everybody to move, but moving in itself is just, I'd never moved before I moved here. And so it was just a very new thing. All my best friends, you know, like, we don't talk much anymore. I mean, we're 6 hours away now, and, you know, and I had to make new friends and new occupation and kind of like a new identity. And it's been a transition, but it's great. It's very hard, though. Like I said, it's not for the weak and the faint of heart. And that's what I tell people, you know. I think that's why some people do give up. They just, it's hard. And I don't blame them. I don't see how I could never do that. But, I mean, it's expensive, too.
Yo, hell yeah.
I'm sure, you know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, sure do. You know, you know, you talk about moving away and, like, you know, my wife and I, we have three boys. And it's like, I would, you know, we talk about it all the time. She's like, well, what would happen if, you know, something happened and somebody from Nashville called and was like, hey, we have this opportunity and we want you to move down there? And I was like, well, I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's a conversation we'd have to have. It would have to all make sense, you know, and if it doesn't, it doesn't, you know, and that's it. That's the long and short of it, you know?
Where do you live at?
We're in Massachusetts. We're in, like, southern Mass. Yeah, I'm about an hour south of Boston.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever come up this way to play?
I've actually, not to play, I've been to Boston once, years and years ago, probably 12 years ago or so. I helped a friend move. And yeah, I just remember we were out in the city one day. I just remember everyone was taken back by my accent. Like, I would talk to her friends. They're like, oh, my God, I love the way this girl talks, because she wasn't from the South. She had just moved there. Clearly, she was moving from Boston. But it was beautiful. It was a big city. But that's the only reason why I've been that far north yet. I've never even played anywhere up there. I have to come. Like, North Dakota, I always do an interview with this guy, Travis, with the radio station in North Dakota. And apparently, I've got listeners there, and he's always asking me. So that's definitely on my list this year. I'm like, I just have to come when it's warm, though. I can't
You don't want to go to North Dakota between Labor Day and Memorial Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything could happen weather-wise there.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for coming on and telling your story and shooting the breeze. It's been a lot of fun getting to know you and, you know, becoming friends, and it's a lot of fun to hear your story.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. Like I said, anytime I get to share my story and get more, you know, word out about me, and thank you for having me, because your podcast helps, you know, helps that and helps people learn who I am and get to listen to my music, and you're really awesome. I'm big on good people, so thanks for being a good person.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate
glad
that.
To come back anytime.
Oh, anytime. You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you so much.
But before we go, I do have this kind of thing I like to do where, because we are the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, I'd like to know about your boots and your whiskey of choice, if you have them.
Okay, well, all right. I'm this might be crazy. My best pair of boots are, I love Idyllwind, Miranda Lambert's brand. So that's what they are. They're like $300, and I wear them every single weekend. They're white. It's so funny. I wear them, and the girls come up to me, and they're like, those are my wedding boots. I'm like, wow, I should not be wearing these every single day, like, to play. So those are my boots of choice. Most of my outfits are Idyllwind, Miranda's brand. But whiskey, Crown girl, really Crown Apple. However, right now I am being sober for I don't know how long. But if you ask anybody that knows me, I'm was a whiskey girl. So I love the Canadian whiskey, I guess, Crown.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, my you know, my wife's doing the whole the dry January thing.
Yeah.
And you know, like, we don't drink a ton, and she's like, you know, she has moments where she's like, I don't know if I can do it.
I know. Yeah. That's been me. It's the first time I've taken an active break from it, but it's something I've wanted to do. Not that I didn't have a problem. I hardly ever drank at home. I would drink out when I played and when I went out with my friends and stuff, but I've seen so many videos lately, and it's just been tugging on my heart for like a year to just do it and get a clear mind. And I'll say, even in the few days of January that I've been dry, it is really life altering. Like, when people say that and they share these videos online, like, it's incredible. And I'm really just doing it for health. Like, I'm wanting to, you know, tone up and eat right. And it's really poison you're kind of putting in your body. And, you know, it's crazy. And I done it for 11-12 years, so it's time for me to take a little break. I just want to see how creative it can make me and how much clarity and a clear mind I can bring, because like I said, if big things are coming my way, I better be clear, you know, I better have clarity to have discernment to know what to do when all that stuff does come my way. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I you know, I applaud you, and I, you know, I can't wait to hear about how that goes for you, because that's quite a feat, especially in this industry, and especially being out on Lower Broadway every weekend. You know, I'm sure that
people throw
easy
shots at you. Hey, instead of a $10 shot, why not $10 in the tip jar? Like, that's my preference.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's the way. Yeah. That's a great way to sell it.
But some people won't even go for it. It's crazy to me. I'm like, I guess people just want to get you drunk, and they don't really want to support your career, you know, because like, I'll look at some people, I'll say it with a smile on my face, I'm like, yeah, thank you, I'm not drinking, but like, you know, instead of it's really, they're like $12 shot, you know, I would really, would appreciate $12 in tips, and they never do it. It's just wild to me, but
right.
Well, thank you again. I won't keep you.
My pleasure.
I'm glad you had me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, and we look forward to having you on again.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers. Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Jesse. Jesse, thank you so much again for coming on and telling your story. It's one that, you know, I love stories like yours, because it's so real and raw and authentic, and, you know, it's we continually see that sort of story, right? Where, you know, it's not just a, oh, well, I was on Idol and, you know, I'm a big star. You know, it's not always that. You know, sometimes you have to work your ass off to be where you are. And you know what? You're killing it. Your sound is fantastic. I just love everything you're doing. So keep it up, and we will continue to support you as you grow. So thank you again for being on. For those of you that it's your first time, again, thank you. Check us out on our socials, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. And we will see you on Thursday. You know, just remember, here at the show, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you on Thursday. And until then, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Y'all, cheers.